Welcome to Library Voices SC. This is Curtis Rogers, Communications Director at the South Carolina State Library, and Library Voices SC is the official podcast of the South Carolina State Library. And today we have with us a special guest representing the Columbia, and that's Columbia, South Carolina, Columbia World Affairs Council. And his name is Dixon Monk, and I'm going to ask him to introduce himself. So welcome.
Hi, Curtis. Thank you for having me.
Great.
I'm
great
excited
to
be
here.
Yeah, excited to be here. So my name is Dixon Monk. I'm the Executive Director of the Columbia World Affairs Council. The Columbia World Affairs Council is a member of the World Affairs Councils of America, which is a parent organization out of D.C. There are over 200 councils around America in 45-plus states, I believe, and growing. The Columbia World Affairs Council was founded here in 1993, so we've been around almost 25 years.
Next year, 25th year
coming up.
Cool. And what's kind of the basic mission of the Columbia World Affairs Council?
Sure. So we were established to raise awareness of international activities in the Midlands, to help connect people across the region, and bring distinguished speakers and foreign diplomats to Columbia to address international issues, basically to create a bridge to build new international relationships with Columbia and our counterparts around the world. So our work really spans all areas of interest, from academics to politics to trade to culture.
And I've been to some of those lunches, and they're always really informative and really enjoyable. But you mentioned diplomats. Who are some of the diplomats you've had?
Sure. We've actually had some heavy hitters in the past year. We were honored to host with Claflin University the former president of Haiti, whose name Michel Martelly, mm-hmm. who is still very active in the humanitarian work that he does, improving literacy and education across Haiti. And then after that, we had the former president of Tunisia, Dr.
Wow.
Mohamed Marzouki, who was brought to us in partnership with the University of South Carolina, the Walker Institute, and the Darla Moore School of Business. And he was also just an incredible figure to meet. He was the first democratically elected president of Tunisia after the Arab Spring.
Wow.
And as some of you may know, Tunisia is the one nation standing with a intact democracy after those uprisings. And
mm-hmm.
so he had the hard duty of forming a new democracy, and it's worked. So
wow. Those are some heavy players, and Columbia, South Carolina is very lucky to not only have you and the council, but also to be able to bring in some of those speakers to talk to various groups. You mentioned the Arab Spring, and I remember seeing on your website you have the Columbia Arabic Meetup. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. So we, part of promoting international relations and cultural understanding by supporting these various foreign language conversation groups. Currently, we have a French conversation group, and more recently, the Arabic language meetup group was formed by a friend and a member who just stepped forward and saw a need for it, and he's been leading the group now for about 2 or 3 months.
Okay, so it's very new.
It is new. There's a need for it, so we've really been trying to get the word out about this one, and to get more people to join. They alternate their meetings between a happy hour at Arabesque on Divine Street, or
okay.
more recently, I believe they met at Cool Beans on mm-hmm. campus. And it's for Arabic speakers and for novices and just anyone interested in Arabic culture and history. They're just very interested and have some knowledgeable people that you can learn from and discover with.
Cool. Well, if you ever, my Portuguese is really, really rusty. So if you ever work on a Portuguese language group, I would be happy to join that.
Here is the call out to a we need a leader for a Portuguese language group.
Exactly. In the Columbia area.
In the Columbia area. That would be great.
That would be really cool. One of the other things I know about Columbia World Affairs Council is that there's some work that you do with the Sister City program, because I remember seeing that Colombia has a number of sister cities, and I remember one of them is Plovdiv, Bulgaria.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about the Sister City program.
So the Sister City program has been around even longer than the Colombia World Affairs Council.
And it's something that you kind of partner with. It's not a part of the World Affairs Council.
Well, right? We are the stewards of or administrators of the Sister Cities program on behalf of the City of Colombia. Mm-hmm. So we maintain these relationships and foster them and grow them. And it's interesting that you bring this up, too, because I will just say that I had a great meeting yesterday with cities around the state, and we are forming Sister Cities of South Carolina Association. So we all met in the Vista yesterday.
That's great.
Kind of an inaugural charter meeting to get this association going, to kind of, you know, help each other build our bridges with sister cities, but also connect with each other here in the state and attract more activity there. So Colombia does have six sister cities. Some of them are more active than others. Mm-hmm. So I'll go down the list real quick. Kaiserslautern, Germany.
And I was going to say, we can also put a link on our podcast website to that.
That'd be great. So Kaiserslautern, Germany, Cluj-Napoca, Romania, Plovdiv, Bulgaria, Taichung City, Taiwan, and then Accra, Ghana.
That's right.
And then Chelyabinsk, Russia.
Wow.
And Yibin City, China. Those last two aren't very active, but among our most active is by far Kaiserslautern, Germany, and the Rhineland and Palatinate state of Germany.
Okay. Well, I can see that because of the big German influence in South Carolina with BMW. And
That's right. There is that, and then on over in Germany, the Rhineland Palatinate, Kaiserslautern is right next to the Ramstein Air Force Base, which is the largest population of Americans outside of America. I mean, there's 50,000 Americans living there. So there's a large U.S. contingent there. But over the 20, 30 years maybe that we've had the sister city relationships, all sorts of wonderful things have sprung out of it, from artist exchanges. There's a core group of Columbia artists who work with artists in Kaiserslautern, and they do exhibitions here and alternately over there. A lot of their work can be found at the IF Art Gallery in the Vista. So Wim down there, Wim Rolfs, can put you in touch with any of those artists. But they've been involved in public art here in town. You can see some of their work around in the Vista. We also have tight relationships with their universities over there, with the Technical University of Kaiserslautern, and the Fraunhofer Institute of Experimental Software.
Wow, that sounds pretty intense.
It is. They are credited with inventing the MP3.
Wow.
Way back when, and they've stayed very much on the cutting edge of IT and technology, and they're a innovative research group that takes applied research out of the universities into the world and implements it practically.
That's amazing.
And so we actually have are working on and seeing this come to fruition an MOU between South Carolina, USC, Clemson University, and the University in Kaiserslautern and the Fraunhofer Institute to work on a wide range of topics, from rapid innovation and IT and aerospace technologies, as well as telemedicine. So we have a lot of really common strengths in our research facilities here that they collaborate on. It's very exciting. And cybersecurity among them as well.
Wow. And there's the thing with sister cities is that basically a sister city is chosen because it's essentially the same size, basically, and maybe same type of, like, if it's a government university town or you know, population-wise, maybe kind of a similar demographic. Is that the case with all of these sister cities?
In some cases, yes. But there really can be a wide range of reasons why sister cities are formed. In most of these cases, they're comparable-sized cities that have similar institutions or some sort of cultural connection. And it can just be like an interest in the art. So take Charleston, for example, their well-known sister city of Spoleto, Italy. You know, and we know about that because of the Spoleto festival that occurs every year that's grown so big. And so they can kind of just develop out of an initial meeting, a delegation coming from here or there and finding like causes. So let's take Cluj-Napoca, Romania, for example. That was formed in the early 90s. Colombia was involved in sort of this democracy initiative after the fall of the Soviet Union and reaching out to Eastern European nations and helping them out. And there was a tight relationship that was formed between our medical university and and surgeons over there that came, like a group of 10 or 20 of them, and there might even have been a rotating group, came to study heart surgery and heart transplant procedures here. And they took that information back to Cluj, and Cluj is now known as the heart center of Eastern Europe.
Wow,
and,
did not know that.
And they've really developed widely. There's a kind of ongoing joke because Cluj is in the middle of Transylvania County, and so they are the blood capital of, of Eastern Europe, appropriately so.
Is there a Dr. Vlad Dracul who works there?
I feel sure. They must have one on staff. But these sister city relationships can come out of any number of initial sparks, and then they just tend to grow from there. It's a pleasure to work with all of our sister city relationships and build those. And, you know, the more you get to know other communities, the more similarities you find and the more opportunities to engage and collaborate.
Definitely. Now, yeah. With all those sister cities, do we have any visitors from those cities who come and maybe you show around or they get tours of different areas in the state?
Sure. I mean, I definitely hope to encourage more delegations to come from our sister cities. And I also hope to build more trips that make visiting these cities easy for our community through the Columbia World Affairs Council. And we can set up special trips that, you know, are maybe unique in that we can introduce people to, government officials, people in, higher up in the universities and, special interests of whoever might be on the trip. But I would certainly like to see a greater travel exchange. Again, that artist contingency that moves back and forth between Kaiserslautern and Columbia is a special one, and one that largely operates independently now on its own. I mean, these are friendships, lifelong friendships that have formed, and so I know that they came here. I believe like 10 of them came here a couple of years ago, and I want to say last summer, a group of multidisciplinary artists went over to Kaiserslautern and were involved in like a week-long exhibition that involved dance and visual arts and poetry.
That's good. That's amazing. That's great to know about. I think a lot of people probably aren't aware of that. So,
Yeah, people aren't aware. That's part of what I've been trying to build too, and hope to build more through this Sister Cities of South Carolina Association. Just an awareness that we do have these relationships. Most people aren't aware that we have sister cities at all.
Right, exactly.
And so, yeah, we want them to not only be aware that that relationship is there, but to meet people and interact with them. Mm-hmm. And some of them are really close knit or close to home. Mm-hmm. So one that I have to mention is with Acaragana, which is a special relationship we have there, in that the mayor of Acaragana is from Columbia, South Carolina.
You're kidding.
No. He was actually an educator at W.A. Perry. And
wow.
His cousin was running for office for the president of presidency, and he won. And so I believe that... Mr. Vanderpooy is his name, Mayor Vanderpooy now, went over to support that campaign and won. And then the mayor is an appointed position.
Oh,
and so
okay.
He said, we want you to stay.
All right.
We want you to lead Accra. And so that's...
So you probably get instant citizenship with that appointment.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe he's now a dual citizen. And both of his daughters still live here and are graduates. And there is a Ghana Association of South Carolina.
Really?
As well.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's what I mean. There are these sister city relationships, but there are also these communities right here.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina and the Midlands, Columbia especially, has a really large international community that's varied.
Yeah. Anytime you have a big university, you're going to have a lot of international students.
Right.
And
yeah, the university, Fort Jackson can't be overlooked
mm-hmm,
either.
There's
a large international community there, and just a community, that's grown. Columbia, South Carolina might have an outside perception, but one that when people visit here, they find it to be a really hospitable, beautiful place to live.
I've always loved Columbia, and I've been here for quite some time.
Me too. And so we're not alone in that.
So talk to me a little bit about some of the specialized programs you've got coming up, because I see that you have the former mayor of Charleston, South Carolina,
yes.
Who is, I think he's winning a Global Vision Award. That's Joe Riley.
That's
is
right,
going to be
Joe
coming
Riley.
Up.
Yeah, so that the Global Vision Award is our biggest annual event. It's now in its 24th year, and this year we're super excited to give the award to Mayor Joe Riley from Charleston. He's one of the longest serving mayors in the U.S. 40 plus
really?
Years,
wow.
I believe. He just retired in the end of 2015, I think, right at the end, and he's actually about to begin. The Citadel is named an endowed professorship in his honor, and
okay.
he's gonna begin teaching there next fall, I want to say. But so we're excited to have him and to award him with that. So the Global Vision Award is given each year to an individual that's really done a significant amount of work that's put us on the world map or really made a significant impact to project South Carolina globally,
mm-hmm.
Not just Columbia, but the whole state. We have gotten some questions like, why are you giving this award to somebody
right.
from Charleston? You're the Columbia World Affairs Council. But Mayor Riley has done a remarkable lifetime of work to,
sure.
I mean, really put South Carolina on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And in all sorts of ways, from raising Charleston to this world destination, to his kind of swan song work with the establishment of the International African American Museum,
mm-hmm.
which is slated to open in 2020, I believe.
Okay.
So a remarkable and well-loved man. We're excited to have him to give that award.
And that's going to be on Wednesday, November 8th, and
that's
there's a reception and all that good stuff.
That's right. So the award ceremony is a black tie dinner gala affair. It's at the Columbia Marriott. It will be on November 8th. It's a Wednesday. You can go ahead and get tickets now on our website at columbiaworldaffairs.org. There are also sponsorship opportunities. It is our major fundraiser for the
mm-hmm.
year that allows us to our operational expenses for the year.
And was last year, was it Governor Nikki Haley?
Right. So last year we gave the award to then Governor Nikki Haley, now UN Ambassador, for the work that she did, putting us on the world stage, mainly through a remarkable amount of international foreign investment. Mm-hmm. South Carolina, many may not know, has led the country in foreign direct investment for over 4 years now. So, I mean, that means that we have more foreign entities invested in South Carolina than any other state. Like, that's bigger than California. It's bigger than New York, and for good reason. There's a lot of reasons why people want to settle here and do business as to make this their headquarters and their seat. To do business in America. We all know BMW. BMW makes more BMWs here than anywhere else in the world.
It is amazing.
It is amazing. We make more tires than anybody else in the world. You know, we have Michelin here as well. And of course, Boeing and Volvo, Samsung is coming to Newberry. It's pretty remarkable.
It really is. I think a lot of people aren't aware of that. So, glad that we're having the opportunity to share that information. One of the other programs that I know we had chatted about, and I keep on calling it a Geography Bee because I love the phrase Geography Bee, but sure. Tell us a little bit about that program and maybe how libraries and schools can get involved.
Sure, absolutely. The Geography Bee, aka the Academic World Quest program, is a flagship program of the World Affairs Councils of America, and it is a it's a quiz competition, so it's kind of like a trivia-based competition that encourages students and teachers to work together on challenges that test students' international relations knowledge.
So it's not just geography.
Right.
It's a lot of different things. It's going to incorporate cultural and all that.
Right, right. Geography is certainly a part of it, but they also delve deeper into politics, into histories, into cultures, and it's pretty comprehensive. I was amazed going through the questions from last year. I mean, some of them are real easy. You know, like what's the capital of Romania? Others were challenging, you know. And this is again for high school students. So we have a call out to teams right now. So teachers, educators, librarians, if you're listening, this is anybody can form a team.
So homeschoolers could be involved?
Sure, absolutely. Homeschoolers can, you know, so it's geared towards high school students. Teams are comprised of 4 students and a team leader. And that can be a teacher, it could be a librarian, it could be a guardian parent, just a mentor that's going to work with the team. There's a study guide that they get. It'll be coming out relatively soon, and they work with that study guide until February, and then in February we'll have our regional competition. Last year we had 3 high schools. We had Dutch Fork, Columbia, and Ridgeview High Schools, and they all joined the regional competition, which was hosted by the South Carolina Geographic Alliance.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's a partner with the USC Department of Geography.
That's right,
they?
Yeah. Okay. They're based out of the Department of Geography at the University of South Carolina. They were super gracious to host this. So these high school students had the opportunity to go on a college campus into a university classroom and get the feel of what that is. And the competition is just a lot of fun. You know, it's a trivia competition. There are 10 rounds, and we go through that.
And where is it held? Is it like in an auditorium or?
Well, this one was held in a larger classroom in the Department of Geography,
okay.
Right over there near Thomas Cooper Library. And it was a lot of fun, and the underdogs won. Ridgeview High School, and I say they were the underdogs just because they were the only team comprised completely of freshmen.
Oh, wow.
And so they, as the winners, get to go on to Washington, D.C., where there's a whole weekend of programming centered around the national competition. And again, this is a... organized by the World Affairs Councils of America, so all of the councils across the country participate. So there are literally hundreds of students from across the country that come together, and this, I think it's like 5-hour long competition that happens through Saturday. But they begin by welcoming reception that last year and this year is hosted by the United States Institute of Peace. I believe the competition was held at the National Press Club.
Wow.
So they also are, you know, get exposed to national and world leaders there. It's very educational because they get to spend time on the Hill and walk around and explore the Capitol. And it's a lot of fun and it's an exciting opportunity. And then the winners of the national competition win scholarship money for college.
Really? Yeah. Wow. To the school of their choice?
Right. I believe so.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a very good incentive. So all you library folk and educators and, you know, be sure and look at the links. We're going to put links up to that program as well as the Columbia World Affairs. Do you have a link from the Columbia World Affairs?
Right. Website? Yeah. If you go to our homepage and under programs, the first thing that drops down on that menu is Academic World Quest. And so there's a whole page of information there, and there are some flyers that you can share with your colleagues, other teachers. And I do want to stress that it is a lot of fun. And I know that teachers already are very overloaded with so much, and they're getting their lesson plans together. It's the beginning of school. The last thing they want to do is tack on another thing.
Exactly.
This is really easy. The study guide is a lot of fun. It's easy to go through. You can spend a half an hour a week kind of, or however much you want to prepare for it. And then, you know, you show up at the national, the regional competition. It's just, 2 hours here. And you might win the opportunity of this great trip to D.C.
Very cool. And we're at the website now, and there's the picture of the Ridgeview High School.
Yeah, there they are.
Winning the 2017 regional competition.
Yeah, they were a great team.
That's great. Lots of good information here at this website. Again, we'll have links on the Library Voices SC podcast page. And as we're wrapping up, is there any other thing that you would like to highlight about the Columbia World Affairs Council, or maybe anything directed at libraries in the state?
I would just like to express to librarians to consider us a resource for international affairs or international studies. If you're looking to develop a program that has to do with one of our sister cities or anywhere in the world, Columbia is a really connected city, and we have the council has a lot of great friends and connections that we can put you in touch with mentors. We can bring some of these great speakers to your classroom. We have consul generals, ambassadors come to town all the time. And it is our pleasure, a given time in their schedule, to extend the program into a classroom or into your school.
And help facilitate that.
Yeah. We're a big part of education. So if we can share these programs with anybody, it's our pleasure.
Well, one of the things I think would be really cool, especially with the Sister City program, if there are any library groups, like maybe even sister library programs, because I know the American Library Association can help facilitate a sister library program. Because I've even looked at the library in Plovdiv, Bulgaria, that would be really cool to have to go there and check out the library,
Right.
But I think it would be really interesting for either library groups or student groups, for instance, a teacher in a school who wanted to talk to and maybe meet with other students and teachers in one of our sister cities, and they could do it through GoToMeeting or through Skype or something.
Sure, absolutely.
Like that.
We have the technology at our hands now. The world is right next door. So we can definitely make those connections, and you could connect through technology or even through old-fashioned letter writing. But we can definitely be of assistance in putting you in touch with librarians and educators and students around the globe. And I would be remiss to not mention, it's not a program of ours, but it's one that we support strongly. It's called World Class Scholars. David Esch up in Greenville is my main contact with this program, but connect classrooms in South Carolina with classrooms around the world, not just with our sister cities, but all over the globe. And they have a program that spans a school year where you Skype in with another classroom in another country, and you have exchanges, and you work on a project together and see that project to completion. And you know, the students walk away, you know, with a bigger understanding of the world and another culture from both ends of the classrooms. It's a great program, and I'm always looking to channel people into that. So.
Very cool. Well, thank you again so much for being with us today. And again, we'll have information up on our website on the Library Voices SC podcast page to ColumbiaWorldAffairs.org, and you can find out more about what they do there. And also, feel free to leave comments. We'd love to hear from you and give us some ideas for other things to talk about on Library Voices SC. So thanks for being with us.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.